discussing yesterday, we're finishing up with the Gadat Torah regarding Avshalom. So we didn't get to the end of that. We were finishing off at the bottom of Yud, the top of Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, about Yad Avshalom, where the Pesukim say, and the Gemara was darshing the Pesukim that, again, in the Navi, or almost a Mamar Muskar, after Avshalom is killed, talks about how he built during his lifetime a monument to himself. And he built the monument to himself because he had no children. So that's what the Gemara is going to discuss. He is slowly taking apart each piece of that puzzle. So it says, V'Avshalom lakach v'yatev lo b'chayav, my lakach, Amar Ish Lakish lakach mechachra le'atzmo. He chose a bad lot in life. I mean, that he made bad choices or bad decisions. Et matzevet asher be'emek ha'melech, right, the monument that's in Emek ha'melech, again, that's the what we saw yesterday, is that it was the that is the direction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Because it's the same, which is what Hashem promised to David after the Chet Batsheva, that there will be some bad that comes out of your house to attack, and that is merit of Shalom, I mean, that his own son rebelled against him and caused him that trouble. And when Yaakov sends out Yosef to go see his brothers, the reason that he sent wasn't me Emek Hebron. Emek Hebron wasn't necessarily where he lived, but the reason why he had to go. Why did he have to go Emek Hebron? Because who lived in Hebron? That was Avram Avinu. And what was the Emek Hebron means was the depth of Hebron. What was the promise that Hashem made to Avram Avinu and Brit Ben Otarim? Right, that your children will have to end up in a foreign land, right? So they're going to have to be enslaved. So that process had to begin with the Mechirat Yosef. Then, the reason we said before that he put up the monument was Ki Amar in Liben. Because Yavshalom said, I have no child, or I have no children. If he really did not have children, and it says, before when Avshalom comes back from being sent into exile by David, after he kills Amnon, he comes back, it says that he was extremely beautiful. Over there it says that Avshalom had children, he had 3 sons and a daughter. So what do you mean he put up a monument to Yad Avshalom during his lifetime because he had no children? So what does that mean, not he didn't have children? So those 2 members of Chazal, Amar Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Shlo Yalo Ben Chagun Lamachut. He realized that his children would not be able to follow him in as princes to become the king, meaning that they weren't appropriate for kingship. And Rav Chisda Amar Gemiri, Kolosori Tuvatosha Chavero In Miniach Ben Yorsho. That we have a Mesora that whoever burns down his friend's fields, right, then he will not have any children left to inherit him. Viu Kalia Deliyoav, right, and he burnt down the fields of Yoav ben Tzuriah. And we know he built it. Why did he burn down the fields of Yoav ben Tzuriah? Because when he came back, after he kills Amnon, he's put into exile. Yoav conspires with an older woman, to bring him back because he saw that David was upset. So he brings Avshalom back to the kingdom, but David says Avshalom's not allowed to see his face, meaning that Avshalom had to stay in his house and not come to the palace and not see David at all. So Avshalom gets upset about that, and he keeps calling Yoav to his residence to have Yoav speak to the king on his behalf. And Yoav refuses to come to speak to him, does not come. So how does Avshalom get Yoav's attention? He tells his servants to burn down the field of Yoav. And that's the next puzzle. Yomer Labadav, Re'u Chalkat Yoav El Yadi, V'lo Sham Se'orim, L'chu V'tzitu Abaish, V'yatzitu Abdei Avshalom Et Achelka Abaish. So that's exactly what he did. He told his servants to go burn down Yoav's fields, and then guess what? Yoav shows up to speak to him. So that's how he got Yoav's attention. So because of that, because it says in Mesorah that whoever burns down his friend's fields, sounds like his children will precede him. And that's what it meant that when he put up the Matseva, when he put up the Yad Avshalom, the reason he didn't have children is because of this action that he took that caused his children to precede him. Right? Alright, the Miriam, right? So now we said in the Mishnah that we have Mida Kenegi Mida also goes to the Tova. So what it says, Midomi. How is that? The whole point of the Mishnah is it's Mida Kenegi Mida. Hatam Chadashata Hakashiva Yomi. Miriam only waited for Moshe for a couple of minutes. And over here, when Bnei Yisrael waited for Miriam, that was 7 days for its wrath. That's not midah keneged midah. That's like multiples of what happened. So Amar Abaye, Ema Ulinyan Atova, Eina Kein. So Abaye, we've seen this machlokus between Abaye and Rava numerous times through the Masechta so far, which is Abaye, when we have a problem like this, amend the Mishnah to read otherwise, and then Rava will come along and say, no, I can explain it the way the Mishnah is written. So Abaye says, amend the Mishnah to read, what, Ulinyan Tova, Eina Kein. That midah keneged midah is not like that by Tova, because there's we see an unbalanced scenario over there. What the Mishnah says, and yes, why are you amending the Mishnah? The Mishnah says explicitly that midah keneged midah applies to Tova as well. Right, so the same thing by Tova, that the same concept of midah keneged midah, uli olam, midah tova meruba midah perniot. But not only is it midah keneged midah, but it is, again, multiples of that, because we know the midah tova is miruba midat perniot. It says, here we have it, right? So it says about Miriam that she's waiting for Moshe. Amar Yitzchak pasuk ze kulo shem shechina. This pasuk was written about the shechina. Shenema, because it says, vatitatsev, right, that she stood there to watch. Dichtiv, how do you know with the word, what he's going to do now? Rav Yitzchak is going to take every word in that pasuk and show that every word in that pasuk is used in another context to refer to Hashem or the presence of the Shechina. So it's a nemar, vatitatsev, dichtiv, but it says in Shmuel Aleph, vayavo Hashem, vayitatsev. This is when Shmuel's young, and Hashem comes to speak to him for the first time, and he doesn't know who it is. He keeps thinking it's Eli who's calling him. And he goes to Eli, and finally Eli tells him, he realizes that it's Hashem coming to speak to Shmuel, and says to him, next time that you hear that voice calling you, say, I'm here. So that was it. Vayavo Hashem, vayitatsev, and he was there, present on Shmuel. So that's the word vayitatsev in the context of Hashvat HaShechina. Achoto dichtiv, where do we see that? By achoto dichtiv, and more the chokhma, achotiat. Right, to say to the chokhma, you are my sister. And over here, Rashi points out, what does it mean? So what does that have to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It says that chokhma is eitel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When piv them, it's a nemar, ki Hashem yitin chokhma mipiv dat etzvuna. So he says there's an association between chokhma and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore achotiat is a reference to the presence of the Shechina. Merachok, right? It says, did you say with the whole Merachok? What's Merachok? Dichtiv, it says, Merachok Hashem Nirali. From a great distance, right? Hashem appeared to me. Merachok Hashem Nirali. Which is the, from which we read from Yirmiyahu Amanah, which is actually October for the second day of Rosh Hashanah. But that, right, to see what was going to happen with Moshe, Tichtiv, Kikel Deot Hashem. Right, that's another reference, again, Deot Hashem. So therefore, it's a reference to the Shechina. So now it says, so what's the word what? Where do we see ma have to do with the Shechina? Tichtiv, ma Hashem Shoel Alokecha Sholem Imcha. What does Hashem ask from you? Right, and then it says, Ya'aseh. Right, Ya'aseh Dichtiv, He lo Ya'aseh Hashem Elukim Davar, because it says Hashem will not do anything, meaning that Hashem will not do anything, the puzzle beginning without giving warning, without letting people know what He is about to do. Hashem Elukim Davar lo, to see what would happen to Moshe Dichtiv, Vayikra lo Hashem, Vayikra lo Hashem, Shalom. Right, so this is by Gid'on, where he wants to know if the Malach comes to Gid'on to tell him that he's going to be the Shofet, the Savior of Klal Yisrael. And then Gid'on gets worried afterwards when he realizes that a Malach came to visit him. He gets worried that he just saw Malach and he's going to die. So then he gets a message from Hashem, Vayomlam Hashem, Shalom, you'll be okay. Everything will be okay. So again, here we have all the words in that pasuk, right, that basically says that refers to the Shechina, or the Shechina being present at that point in time. And we're talking about, obviously, Miriam, who's overlooking Moshe. But also, I think Rav Yitzchak's implication here is that Hashem was watching over it to ensure that the Moshian Shel Yisrael would survive and that the process of the Geulah would begin. Now we have a drasha here about in Parshat Shmot, many of the psukim or many of the agadot that are famous, part of them because they found in the Haggadah, Others because they're well known, and the first one is always very well known, which is Vayakam El Chadash. It says in Mitzrayim, right, the new king came to power. We have a Machlokas Rabbi Shmua. Chadamar Chadash Mamash. One of them says literally a new king came, but Chadamar Shnit Chadshu Gezerotav. It's not a new king, but he changed his policies. Mandamar Chadash Mamash Chichtiv Chadash. One who says it's a new king, it says exactly that. It wasn't El Chadash. Mandamar Shnit Chadshu Gezerotav, that he had new policies or new decrees. Delokti Vayamat Vayimloch. And it's missing the essential variables that the Torah usually uses to teach us or tell us that a king has passed away, and then that someone else came to rule after him. The fact that that's totally missing suggests that there wasn't a changing king. Asher lo yadat Yosef, who didn't know Yosef, davadami kiman lo yadalei. Not that he didn't literally know Yosef, but rather his actions indicating that as if he no longer remembered Yosef, or no longer remembers the goodness that Yosef provided to Mitzrayim. But Yomer Lamo, Hinei Am Yisrael. So this talks about what does Pharaoh say when he gets worried about Klal Yisrael? Says to his people, Hinei Am Yisrael, Am Bnei Yisrael. Tano, who yitzchil beitza tchila? The pikach laka tchila. Since Pharaoh was the one who started to oppress the Jews or worry about the Jews, and therefore made the decrees, therefore he was punished first. That's the puzzle we just quoted. He says to his nation, Hinei Am Yisrael, right? That's the Fikach Lakat, Chilat Echtiv, Ubechal, Ubamchal, Ubechal Abdecha. When the Makkah comes, it'll be with you, your nation, and all your servants. So he's mentioned first in the Makkah over here. Hava Nitchakmalo, right? So it says, let us be wise to them, but let us plan or figure out what to do with Bnei Yisrael, come up with a solution for them. So it should have written, Lahemi Baile. I mean, it shouldn't say lo, but it says hava nechakma lahem, right, to them, Bnei Yisrael. What does it mean lo? Amar Rami Chamar Barabi Chanina, bo v'nechkam l'moshi'an shel Yisrael. So lo is a reference to the savior of Klal Yisrael, not Klal Yisrael himself. That's what's written in the singular. But many donam. So now they have to decide how we're going to, right, try to get at the moshi'an shel Yisrael. Nidonam be'esh, well, if we try to kill them with fire, right, then ichtib kini hine Hashem ba'esh yavo, right, that it says about Hashem, that Hashem comes in fire, ichtib ki ba'esh Hashem nishpat, right, and then Hashem also, right, judges in fire. So they are aware of this idea that there, excuse me, is midah keneged midah. They had seen that already with the Dor HaMabul and with the stone, that there would be punishment. So here they were trying to figure out how they could do something where they wouldn't get punished midah keneged midah. So they said, if we use fire, we know that Hashem comes, can come. Hinei Hashem v'esh avok t'beish Hashem nishpat. And then Hashem comes and consumes with fire. So that they didn't want to choose.
We're saying that the advisors of Paro were well versed with scripture that had not yet been given.
Right. I don't think that's the proof, but I think their feeling was that Hashem would punish with fire. I think the Chachamim were using a puzzle to show that Hashem would come with punishment. Right. I don't think the intention is that they knew the psukim, but that rather the Chazal here are trying to show that the availability or that Hashem does punish in this manner. B'cherbtiv u'b'charbo et kol basar. Right, and so they would have said, "Oh, let's use do the sword," right? And then it says, "No, that Hashem is ki Hashem." The continuation of the pasuk which is read, which is ki Abish Hashem nishpat u'b'charbo et kol basar. That with the sword he will judge all people. Ela bo v'niudonam b'mayim. Let's use water, because Hashem already promised that he won't bring another Mabul to the Olam. Right? That's the commitment Hashem makes when he makes the Keshet, that makes the Brit with Noach, that there won't be another flood. The promise of Hashem was that he wouldn't bring a Mabul on the entire world. Not that he would what? Not that he wouldn't take out one nation with water. And Inami, who any may be, Avahain Bayim Vinoflim Bitokal. Well, the other possibility is, right, that Hashem himself would not drown them, but rather they would drown themselves. I mean, they'd enter themselves into the water, which is ends up happening. They drive themselves in, right, during Kriyat Yamsuf. They go straight into the water themselves.
Also, the place in which they were drowned was in the Yam. It's not like the waters of the Yam left their natural
place. Right, so that's right. I think that's what they're saying, right? They ain't by even a thing, they come into it. the Mitzrayim was running in to treat the waters that were collapsing on them. What does it mean when we say that which they planned, right, which will come on to them? Right, so the pot in which they tried to cook, right, or they tried to cook others, they ended up being cooked. How do you know that the word zadu means a pot or a cooking? It says, and so we see that he cooked up a lentil soup. So you see that they cooked, that's where they or how they are punished. So they punished, tried to kill the Jews in the water, and therefore they end up being killed in the water. For there were three people who were advisors to Paro at the time to give him the advice about what to do. Bilam, Biyo, Vitro. Bilam Shi'at Ne'rag. Bilam gave advice to kill the Jews, meaning that he killed the Jews in the Kumba water. He was killed because of his Eitzah, Midak and Egenbiyah. Yob Shatak. Yob was silent. He didn't give any advice, but he didn't run away, and he don't be Yisirim. He ended up getting punished with Yisirim, and that's the whole Sefer Yob. Yitro, Shibarach, who ran away because he disagreed with Pyro and with the advice, Zachum ibn Ibn Ab, Sheshru, Belishkata Zit. That he was Zoka, that his offspring ended up sitting in the Lishkata Gazit, which is the Sanhedrin, or the Beis Din Hagadol, be Yerushalayim. Shneamar, Omeish Bechot Sofrim. So this is in Divrei Yamim. It's in the list that lists out the, it's listing out Yehuda, or the generations, or the offsprings of Yehuda, right, at Shevet Yehuda. At the end of there, of the list, it says, Omeishbachat Sofrim Yoshvei Yavetz. Yabates, right? So these people who lived in Yabates. Who were the people who lived in Yabates? It says Tiratim, Shimatim, and Suchatim. Again, just note like yesterday that in the pasuk it spoke with a sin. And over here, the Gemara uses a samach in order to indicate that it's a sin and not a shin, a Suchatim. Hema Kinim, Havaim Chamat, Avi Beit Rechav. So it talks about these people that lived in Yabates, which are the Tiratim, the Shimatim, and the Suchatim, and they were Hema Kinim, Havaim Chamat. These are the people of Kinim that came from Chamat Avi Beit Rechav. Uchtiv, and who are these Kinim? So that's what we say, Uchtiv, Ubnei Kini, Chatan Moshe. Ubnei Kini, Chatan Moshe. So we see in other places that, what, Chotein Moshe, Chatan Moshe, the father-in-law of Moshe was referred to as a Kini. And we see that these, Mishpachat HaSofrim, right, are listed as being the Kinim. So they bring a parallel between the Kini and the Kinim here, and say that they were the same Kini, and that was referred to the offspring of Yitro. Alright. The Nilcham Banu, so continue the darshan in Shemot, it says, Nilcham Banu Bala Mina Aretz. Right, so they're gonna fight with us, they're gonna lead to, you know, they're gonna have an uprising. Bala Mina Aretz, and they'll leave the land. So it says, it should say, Balinu, right, or that we will go out of the Bible, we will go out of the land. Meaning that if they rebel and leave, what's the big deal? That's not as big a deal. The problem is if they rebel and then they throw us out, and that's when we're in trouble. So I'm Rabbi Avraham Bakana, Kadam Shmikalelet, that's Mobit, Zilokalotobi Chaberot. Someone is talking about themselves, but they don't want to say the bad thing about themselves, so therefore they place it on their friend. So they really should have said Alinu Minaretz, but they said Bala Minaretz, referring to the Jews, to place that Klala on the Jews and not on themselves. But Yisimu Alav Sarei Misim. Right? So it says it puts on them Sarei Misim. It should say Alehemi Ba'ilei. Right? If it's on Klal Yisrael as a whole, it should be in the plural Alehem, on them. So time to be Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shevim, Rabbi Bain. Right? V'talulo the paro b'tzavaro. They brought a shape. This is a form, right? A mavein which was used to make the bricks. But when they formed the bricks, they needed a mold in which to put it. So they hung such a mold around the neck of paro. Kol echad k'misrael shamalem istin isani. When anyone in Kaisel says, you know, I'm too delicate to work, or it's too hard to work for me, I'm below kum istin isatay yoter mi paro. Are you any better than paro? Look, paro is sitting there with the form around his neck, and he does this type of work also. So if he's the king and he does this work, certainly you should be able to do this work, or you have to do this work. Sarei misim, what does it mean, sarei misim? Davar, right, shemashim. It's something that is misim, that places on them, what do you call it, abodah, or places upon them demands. Right, lamana no tova siblotam.
He says that, that they are misim, the malvein, that was hanging on Pharaoh's neck.
They made demands of the people.
And that makes the demands of the people.
That makes
them
refer to placing it on Pharaoh's neck.
All right, thank you. Lamana noto besiglotam, in order to afflict them, right, besiglotam, so it should say, right, anotam, you violate, right? It shouldn't say anoto, it should be anotam besiglotam. Lamana noto, the pharaoh, besiglotam, the Israel. Right, so it was, the mana noto, the pharaoh, is because of Paro's, you know, wearing of the brick, but that therefore Basilu Tam Yisrael caused the pain or the burden of Klal Yisrael. But even Ma'ari Miskinot of the Paro,
the man in the service of the Pharaoh, Basilu Tam Yisrael,
that the, meaning that the fact of Paro, the Inuya Paro, that he wore this malbane around his neck, called Basilu Tam Yisrael, caused the burdens of Klal Yisrael. And that's why it's on Oto, referring to Paro. So the fact that he wore this Malbane was allowed him to cause the heavy burden work on Klal Yisrael.
Or is it the fact that he was going to be punished as a result of the favor of
Israel? I don't look, Rashi doesn't read it. Maybe, I don't know, you're saying the alternative reading is...
That's the way they understand it.
Yeah, so the man on Oto, the Paro will be punished or afflicted because of the burden that he placed on Klal Yisrael.
Yeah, Bishpil Sivot Tamli Yisrael.
Okay. All right, so that's the alternative. All right, thank you. But Yvain, Arei Miskinot of Paro, they built treasure cities for Paro. Rav Shmuel, Charamar Shemisavnot et Balehen, V'Charamar... Right, so our Girsa in our Gemara is Misavnot. The Girsa in Rashi is Shemisakanot et Balehen. Right, V'Charamar Shemimaskinot et Balehen. All right, so I didn't translate it yet because we'll go back now because the difference in the Mishnah here. I translated the Amar Mar Kolosik B'Binyan Mit Maskein. Anybody works with a building is in danger. All right, so now if you look in Rashi, Rashi says, right, as she pointed out, that it's not Misaknotet Balayim, but rather she Misaknotet Balayim. According to Rashi, with Misaknotet Balayim, she Deotan Arim Botavulda Nistaknu Mitzrayim Litzvavayim. That it caused danger. Sakanah, the word sakanah. Egyptians were placed in great danger because of the cities that the Jews built. I mean, that they're going to be killed or they're going to die in the Yam Suf because of what they did to Klal Yisrael. So that's what Misaknon et Baleim means. Rashi says, then what Shim Mimaskinot? So that Rashi says it's Midal Delot, that it, Dildul, it drags them down. What does that mean? So means going downhill, that these treasure houses cause Mitzrayim to go downhill, because when Bnei Israel leave, they clean out Mitzrayim. So this was their beginning of their downfall, meaning that they would take everything that belonged to Mitzrayim. Now, Ulahai Lishno, according to this Lishno, Rashi says, Lo Garcina and Damarmar, Kosik Vinyan Mit Maskein. That you don't, right in the end here, anybody who works on a building, right, is in danger. Uman the Garisla, the one who has that Girsa, which we do have that Girsa, Mitargamina Lahak, the Rabbi Shmuel, Nami, Aval Bin, right, Binyanim, Shokoladam. That it's talking about the general condition of building. Right, misaknot, pamim shenofel minan binyan umet, umemit, or and it kills. I mean that the hasakana is not talking about Mitzrayim, it's talking about general building precautions, that people who are building are in danger of losing their lives, falling and losing their lives. Oh, mimaskanot, shemezeet adam lidayan yut, that it brings a person to poverty, because it says, I'll take the binyan mit maskein, anybody who works on buildings ends up in poverty. So that's the way Rashi reads it, depending on what you think. Right, whether that kolasek b'vinyan mit maskein is in the girsa or not will determine whether you think the sakana is to the mitzrim or the sakana is to people who deal with building. I mean, people who are workers on the buildings put their lives in danger, right, which is very true, especially before, you know, the securing the workers' rights and health, where it came into view that many workers died on the building. So also here, that these were dangerous buildings because the Jews were put to work on them, and therefore they were in danger because of that. And the Tosfos Shanz also brings down, but he reads it slightly differently. He reads it the opposite of Rashi. In terms of how to explain it above, I won't read it, but just so you know, that Tosfos Shas has an alternative reading in the first girsa that we had. All right, Pitom Bet Ramses, they built Pitom or Pitom and Ramses. Rabbi Shmuel Chadamar Pitom Shma, that we only had one name, which was Pitom. Lamini Kashmo Ramses, why is it called Ramses? Rishon Mit Roses. So what it says, first, it goes down, meaning that they used to build a little bit, and then it would fall apart. And then they'd have to start again, and then it would fall apart and have to build it again. The name is really Ramses. The Lamini Kreshma Pitom, Shirishon Pitom Bolo, that it would sink, right? This is the famous measures that as they were building, it would sink, the ground was not solid ground, so as they put the weight on the ground, the building would sink into the ground, and it would be again for not. And that's why what Bnei Yisrael do, right, is avudah v'parach, avudah as opposed to melacha. It's a very important point that's pointed out, or this from Silver, but that in the beginning of Shmot, the Baruch puts them to work. The work in the beginning of Shmot is called avudah, work, which was senseless work that they did. It was work just to enslave them, not necessarily, right, for the productivity or the value of the work. As opposed to that, what is Hashem, when Hashem gives Bnei Yisrael the melechus ha-mishkan, it's not called avudah, but rather it's called milacha. Right, that the Mishkan, the building of the Mishkan, and the restrictions of Malacha and Shabbos refer to Malacha, not Avodah. In that Malacha is work with a purpose in a sense of, right, destination or doing something that is productive. And that was the contrast of that which took place in the beginning of Shmot to the end of Shmot. In that in Mitzrayim, Bnei Yisrael were put to Avodah, whereas when they came out of Mitzrayim and they become Avodim to Hashem, then they're put to Malacha, productive. So here you see that the Medrash over here talks about the work that they were doing was not purposeful or productive work because it was senseless in the sense it was always done to enslave them. So it says, as they oppressed them, they were expanded and multiplied. So it should say, meaning that if you say, as they afflicted them, then they were rabu partzu. Where does it say, kin yifrotz, which suggests in the future, or it will happen. So the Mar says, So the end of the pasuk is not tizuk asher yanu oto, but as they afflicted them, the Ruach HaKodesh says, as you afflict them, kin yirbe v'chein yifrotz. If you're trying to get rid of them, I'm telling you what's going to happen is that they are going to expand. So it says that the Mitzrayim, right, were revolted by Bnei Yisrael, that they felt Bnei Yisrael already becoming thorns in their eyes. So the Mitzrayim enslaved them in Parach. What is Parach? Rabbi Elazar Amar b'Perach, that they used a soft voice, meaning that they slowly drew them into doing work until they finally enslaved them. I mean, it was a slow process. Rabbi Shmuel ben Akwini Amar b'Pricha, that Parach means backbreaking work. And they embittered their lives, right, with the hard work and the bricks and the mortar. So at first they started out with bricks and mortar. Right, and then they moved them on to harder work or works of the field. I mean, this is a continuation of the thought of Perach, that the enslavement took place over a process of time. So again, the word parach is used here. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nechmeni, Amar Rav Yonatan shayu machlifim machlechet anashim lenashim, umalechet nashim len anashim. That they used to switch around. What does it mean by parach over here? It means that they used to change the work of men to women and women to men, and that's what caused the parach. That's what caused the hard work because they were not used to this type of labor. Over there, the one who interpreted Beparach the first time it's brought in the Pasuk as Perach, over here it's clearly talking about, right, hard work or hard labor. Over here, because it says by your Maru at Chayim that they embitter their lives. When they embitter their lives, it must be because of the hard work that came about. Tarish Rav Aviva. Because of the skus of the righteous women of that generation, Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim. Shashal Chotli Shov Mayim. So what would happen when they used to go draw water to drink? Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was on them Dagim Ktadim at the end. That they would draw out water, there would be fish that came into their pitchers. which were both Mexican and Mexican. And so they would have half water and half fish that came out when they came out. Both were shoftot steak they wrote, and then they used to put up two pots on the fire, achat shel chamim, achat shel dagim, one to make hot water and one to cook up the fish. And they used to go out to the field with this hot water and the fish to their husbands in the field. They used to clean them off and to anoint them, and then give them to eat to the fish, and then give them to drink. So then they used to spend time with their husbands out in the field. Ben Spatim here from the word spat, meaning before we used the word sofet to mean to place on the fire. Over here we're using the word spatayim, meaning between the borders, spat, meaning the edge or the end of. So they used to go in a small private area between the fields where you had two walls where it would be a quiet area they could go. Shenemar in Tishkavun ben shifatayim. That we say over there, shifatayim. Yeah, shifatayim. And then over there, that if you lay down between the cooking pots. Right. So now again, the play over here on the words shifatayim is because again the cooking pots and again the spot that they use the cooking pots to encourage their husbands, and therefore they were tishkavun ben shifatayim again, which would be a play if you read it as svat, which would mean the edge, rather than shifatayim, which is meaning laying it down to cook. B'schar tishkavun ben shifatayim zachu Yisrael b'bizak Mitzrayim. Because of the scar that the women spent time with their husbands, they were zocheh to bizat Mitzrayim. Shenemar, because it says, kanfei yona nechpa b'chesef ve'evrota b'irakrak parutz. And so the kanfei yona, which refers to, it is a continuation of the pasuk that we just read before. It's the next pasuk. That's the pasuk Yudal. It is in Tishkavun ben Shvatayim. And then it says in pasuk Tevav, kanfei yona nechpa b'chesef ve'evrota b'irakrak parutz. So that kanfei yona, Yisrael is dome el yona, right? Nimshal yona. It says that the wings of the yona were covered in silver. Ve'evrota and its pinions b'irakrak parutz. And the translation I saw was brilliant gold. So they were covered, meaning that they took the riches of Mitzrayim as a reward for what the women did.
And why
I would suggest
the
gods of the Nephilim,
because they
just
fly away from the husband, from the father's house to the husband's house.
Oh, that they can move back and forth. That's a nice thought. So you're suggesting that the reason they can't pay you now is because they had to be swift. They had to move back and forth between their house and where their husbands were. Very good. And after they became pregnant, they go back to their houses. And when it came to time to give birth, they used to give birth in the fields. Takat ha-tapuach, under the apple trees, is the famous question. Takat ha-tapuach or aticha, right? Under the tree or the apple tree, ororticha, right? I awakened you, I became aware of you. But here, they're translating ororticha, mean that the, talking about the baby. The baby came to being, or came out, right, underneath the tapuach. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Soleach Mishmei Marom, right, so Hashem then sent people down from heaven, Mishim Nakir, Umashpir, Otan, so that it would send down someone to clean up the baby and to straighten out the baby. Excuse me, after birth, Kichayazu Shemeshaperet et Havlad. Right, like this, Chaya, either that the maidservants or the birthing women that used to take care of the Vlad after it's born. Shememar, because it says, Omodo Tayech Biyom Huledet Otak, Lokarat Sharech, Vamayem, Lokhat Lemishki. So it says, Omodo Tayech, right? And when you are born, Biyom Huledet Otak, on the day that you're born, Lokarat Sharech, nobody cuts your umbilical cord. And there was no more water there to wash off their bodies. And then it continues on that all these things were not there available to Bnei Israel. So what Yechezkel is talking about, that there's nothing, no one was there to take care of you except me. As the parak continues in Yechezkel, is that nobody was there to take care of these basic needs of you except who? Me, Akadosh Baruch Hu. So how do we know? So that's what it meant in Mitzrayim, that Bnei Israel didn't have anybody to take care of these basic needs. They were given barren birth in the field. And Akadosh Baruch Hu stood up and took care of them. And then they were able to pick or gather in two circles, but circles here mean some sort of like a Danish, right? Echad shel shemen ve'echad shel dvash, one of oil and one of honey. Shenemar, because it says in Hazinu vayenikeyu dvash misela vayvishem en chalmish tzur. Right, so that the vayenikeyu here playing on vayenikeyu that I nursed you on dvash misela vishem en chalmish tzur. So that was that Hashem was nursing or taking care of the babies and the mothers in the field. So when the Mitzrayim figured out that they were giving birth in the field, so they used to chase after them to go get the babies. There was a nesh, and the babies were absorbed in the ground. And they used to bring oxen, and they used to plow over them, so it didn't look like there was anybody there. My back plowed the flowers. After they left, and they used to pop out in the field like as if they had grown or sprouted out of the ground. That you were numerous, right, like the sprouts of the field. So if you recognize this, you're going to see in a second, but this parak in Yechezkel is on the Night of Pesach, when we're in the Seder. These are the psukim we bring in the Haggadah, right, to support the positions or the to support the interpretation, exegesis of the psukim that we have from Dvarim, that we're explaining with the psukim from Shmot, that we bring these psukim from Yechezkel to explain it. So they'll be, again, you're going to see in a couple of minutes, Rivat Tzimach Zedin HaTzich is one pasuk, and now the continuation in Yechezkel, right, of Pasuk Zayin, you're going to see we also bring them. Once they grew up in the field, they used to come back as Adarim Adarim is flocks and flocks to the house. Shinemar, Vatir B, Vatigali, Vatavoi Badi Adayu. Right, so that you Vatir B expanded, Vatigali and grew up, Vatavoi Badi Adayim, and you came back with great charm. So there's playing Al Tikri Badi Adayim, Ella Badre Adarim, that you came back as flocks and flocks. So these kids grew up and then they came back to the house. Tons of them came back to the house. Right, and then when they were on the Yam Suf, these children or these women recognized Hashem first. This is the God we already saw, because they already experienced the Shekhinah when they were born out in the fields, and Hashem had brought them up and taken care of them, so they were already aware of it. When it said Zeki Levan Veil, they knew right away that this was the same Shekhinah that they had already experienced. So he says to the women, the birthing women, the Jewish birthing women, right? Rav Shmuel, Chadamar Isha Uvita, Chadamar Kala V'Chamuta. Right? One said it was a mother and daughter, and one said it was a mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. Chadamar Isha Uvita, it's Yocheved and Miriam. Right? Yocheved and her daughter Miriam. Chadamar Kala V'Chamuta, it's Yocheved V'Elisheva. Elisheva was the wife of Aaron, so it was her daughter-in-law. Tanya, come on, Damar Yishol Vital. There's a price that supports the position that here we were talking about a mother and daughter. Why is that? Tanya, Shifra Zu Yochevet. Shifra is Yochevet. Lamni Krashma Shifra. Why was it called Shifra? Shemishaperet et Havlad. That she used to make the Vlad look good or straighten it out. Dabacher Shifra, Shiparu Vrabu Yisrael Biyamad. That Bnei Yisrael expanded greatly in her time. Pua, Zu Miriam, Benamini Krashma Pua, why was she called Pua? Shahaita Pua. So what does Pua mean? Pua means that she, well, according to Rashi, if you look at Rashi says the word Pua means love Vlad. He says Shahaita Pua love Vlad. Rashi has a gear so that she used to speak to the Vlad, Shimishashetoto. That she used to, you know, calmly, she had a way with the children, the babies, in order to calm them down, in order to speak to them. So that's what Rashi says, the Pua is that she is calling out or speaking to the Vlad. Mishashetoto. She calms it down. She calms down the baby.
That's what it means?
Yeah.
To calm down?
Yeah. Yeah. Called the very Maribim
Lishashu. Because it's right. Shashua is like a toy.
Right, it's a toy. It's something that calms
them.
Play with it. It's something that, yeah, it's a plaything, but it means something that calms them down, that keeps them entertained and happy. Right, exactly.
Delightful
child. But the idea then, Shashuin means something that entertains or keeps the person calm. So, but Tosus, on the other hand, says, Shaita Pua the Vlad. It's interesting. This Tosus over here, one Tosus on the page, very interesting. It says, Perish Rabbeinu Kananel, Lo Choshot Lichishav Yotzei HaVlad. That they used to whisper into the mother's ears, in order, she was the birthing coach, and she was whispers into the mother's ear when she's giving birth, and that would have the baby come out. Come on. So we have women that do this today. whisper into the mother's ear, and out comes the baby. So there was some phenomenon. They already had the Lamaze classes, but they were already, they knew, they're whispering to the ear. So Tosafot says that it refers to pu'al of blood, means not to the baby, but to the mother, in order that the blood would come out. Right. Right, he doesn't, alright, it would be after two bumps there, but the, Rashi says, Pua is that she, to the baby itself, that she spoke or calmed the baby itself down. The Racher, the Ragmar says now, Pua Shaita Pua Baruch HaKodesh. She used to, he was, calling out with Ruach HaKodesh for merit, and she said, Atida Imi Shetelei Ben Moshiach Yisrael, that my mother will in the future give birth to a child that will save Kalal Yisrael. Right, and then we'll we'll deal with that tomorrow. I think tomorrow's daf it speaks about it a little more. Right, when the Jewish women give birth, you should kill their children. Ma'ol Naim. So it says that when the Jewish women give birth, alav naim, what is a stone? Amar Rabbi Yochanan siman gadol masar lehem. Paro gave them a siman. How do you know that the woman's ready to give birth? Amar lehem, shashu korat leledi urchotea mitzanenek avanim. When a woman gives birth, her thighs become cold like a stone. So that's how you know that the baby's about to come out. Itamar dechvi v'ered beit hayotzer v'nei hosem lachalo av naim. That I went down to the potter's workplace, and I saw that he was working on the avnayim. Mayotir zid der yerech mikan yerech mikan. Mistanbam. So how does a potter work? He has the spinning wheel in between him, and his legs are on either side of the spinning wheel. Avishar yerech mikan yerech mikan avlabam. So you know that the baby's going to come out when the women have their thighs on each side, and the blood is coming out in the middle. Imbenhu v'mitem uto. If it's a boy, kill it. He gave them a siman. How do you know if it's a boy or girl? Ben panav lamata, bat panav lamala. So if it comes down face down, then it's a male. Face up, it is a female. And Rashi says, because that is derech tashmishan. Right, that's the siman that he gave. So they feared God, and they didn't do like Paro had spoken to them. Should say, kashud diber alehen, like he told them to do. What does it mean, alehen? What was particular about them? That Paro proposed to them to spend some time with them, and that they have refused. And not only...
We've heard of them as women of a male child and a female child. A small amount of checking would clarify whether it was male or a female child.
Right, so that's a good question, but the point was that they were supposed to, it was supposed to look like an accidental death. So they were supposed to kill the baby before the mother got a chance to realize that they were killing the baby. So they could only do that in the birthing process. They would have to kill the baby. How would they know which babies to kill in the birthing process before the baby came out and the mother would realize that they're actually killing the baby? So Paro was giving them a siman to know that they could kill them in the birthing process. All right. But the chayena et hayiladim, that they, you know, let the, but we would have interpreted the pasuk shayet that they let the babies live, right? That they did not kill them. Tana lo dayan shlo himito, utan not only did they not kill them, eloshayim must be klim lamayim amazon. They actually used to help out the mothers with the new babies. So what the chayena et hayiladim is not simply that they let them live, but they, right, sustained them, and they helped them survive. But from Ruam Yaldot El Paro, Kilokin Hashim, right, Mitzvot Ibiot, that the Jewish women are not like the other women, my, they say, why? Ki Chayot Haina, right, they are like Chayot, Ilima Chayot Mamash, right, if you say that they are, these women are Chayot, that they know how to give birth, meaning that they are birthing women, and they know how to give birth. Even a woman who is an expert in birthing still needs another, when she's giving birth, needs another woman to be present there, right, to be available. Ella Amrlo, Umazuk Chayanim Shalit. This nation is compared to the animals, and just like animals give birth right by themselves in the field, so do these women give birth without having the need for a birthing coach or woman there to help them out. So Yehuda, how do we know that Mishalaki Chayot? Yehuda, Kuraye, right? Dan, we have Yehigan Nachash, Achali Ayalach Shlucha, Yitzchar is Chamor Varem, Yosef is Bechoshor, Bechamin is Baby Truff. So all these are animals that Mishalaki Ketebe, Ketebe. Those that specifically compare them to animals, we have written by them. So Lo Ketebe, where it's not written about them, Ketebe, says in Yechezkel, my Imechba, the Bi'ah. Your mother was like a lioness, Ben Ariot, let's say, crouched among the other lions. So you see that Bnei Israel compared to there, he's describing Bnei Israel. that in your olden days, that your mother was a lioness fenced among the lions. So you see that the Bnei Shoah Nishla Lechayot. That they feared Hashem, and therefore Hashem made them batim, made them houses. Rabbi Shmuel, again, another machlokes Rabbi Shmuel about the interpretation of the Sukkim here. One of them says that it was, what was the reward? The reward was kuhuna and the biyah, houses of kuhuna and the biyah. Chanamar batei machutz was kingship. Mandavar batei kuhuna and the biyah, Aron and Moshe. Cohen and Levi, that's, you know, if we're talking about Yocheb and Miriam, then her brothers were the Cohen and Levi. Mandavar batei machutz, David nami mi Miriam ka'ati. David also came out from Miriam. It says the Tamat Azuba, who happened to be, who was the wife. Kalev had two wives, and one of his wives was Azuba. But Tamat Azuba, she passed away. By Kachlo Kalev et Efrat. So we're there after she passed away. Kalev took another wife, Efrat. But Tehlelo et Hur, and then he gave birth from Efrat to Hur. Dave, and it says David ben Ish Efrati. But it's describing who David is. He's the son of a Ish from Efrat. So the Gemara here is playing on the words Ephrat and Ephrati to say that David was a descendant of Kalev, right, from his wife Ephrat, and that was David's great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather.
So Ephrat knew was his murder.
Right, so that is the last piece of the puzzle, which we're not going to do today. That's after the two dots. We'll do that tomorrow, because it continues to the sugya tomorrow, which is a... is that exactly what Shaul just suggested, is that Ephrat was Miriam, because we're going to see the Gemara here is going to go through a whole drasha of Sukkim to show that Kalev and Miriam were married. All right, we'll stop here.